It's likely that one of the errands on your list this week was a stop at your local dry cleaner to drop off soiled and wrinkled and perhaps even smelly clothing. Today on Please Explain, we're going to look into what dry cleaners do to transform your dirty laundry into crisp, clean, wearable clothing. And joining me now is Wayne Edelman, the president and CEO of Maurice Garment Care, a dry cleaning business started by his family a generation ago. He's also the past president of the National Cleaners Association, a trade and educational outreach organization, and the doctor of Ask the Clothes Doctor on garmentcare.com. Also with us is Kim Koska, professor of chemistry and associate dean of the Department of Chemistry at the University of Wisconsin, Rock County. The last time she was on Please Explain, we were talking about the chemistry involved in household cleaning and washing laundry. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hello.
And Kim, welcome back.
Great to be here. Thanks.
However complex the subject on Please Explain, we usually begin with the most basic question. So, Wayne, what is dry cleaning? Is it really dry?
Leonard, that's a great question. Most people are under the misconception that dry cleaning is a dry process. Clothes are hung on a conveyor and hit with dry cleaning rays. The clothes do get wet, but they're not wet with water. They're wet with a solvent, hence the term dry.
So, Kim, is this all that different from washing laundry, which we talked about the last time you were here?
Well, most household laundry stains are water-based stains. So when we do our household laundry, what we're really treating is all of the stains that come out easily with water. But we've also got those other kinds of stains, lipstick, ketchup, ring around the collar. Those don't respond well to simple water. So we use these fantastic double agents, these chemical molecules that we call detergents. What those molecules do is attract both the water-loving and the oil-loving stains and pull them off into water and actually do a trick as it cloaks those oils into liking water and being dispersed in water. So if you've got fabrics that can tolerate water washing, that'll be great. But the real problem comes up that we don't have all of our fabrics that tolerate water washing, so that's where our dry cleaners come in. They use mostly the oil-loving solvents to take out those oily stains.
I have a fair amount of clothing that says dry clean only, and there have been situations where people have accidentally put one of those things in the washing machine, and the result has been a disaster. So, Wayne, can you tell us about how dry cleaning, as we know it, came into being?
Well, I think as we know it today, it dates back to the, tailor in Paris spilled some kerosene on a tablecloth and realized that it was an effective degreaser. But the solvent itself is really not what we do. It's the same way you would pre-treat laundry at home. The dry cleaning or the solvent cleaning is no magic. We do use some chemistry in order to remove and pre-treat stains before we actually wash them.
So that French tailor, whose name I'm told is Joli Bolin, is the reason that we sometimes call this French cleaning?
Exactly, French dry cleaning.
And then sometimes some stores say Martinizing. What is Martinizing?
Martinizing was a franchise similar to Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts that sold coffee. Martinizing was a franchise of dry cleaning stores that claimed to get the clothes ready in an hour.
Kim, can you tell us what happens chemically when one chemical dissolves or breaks up another?
Well, let's say you've got mustard on your shirt. It's barbecue season. That's going to happen to most of us this summer. When that happens, we're going to preferably pre-treat that stain and put it in the laundry, and the water and the detergent combined will act on that oil, that mustard stain, and pull it out. The detergent will pull the oils, the mustard oils out, and the water will pull the colored things, which are easily water-soluble, out. Now, sometimes those things get bound in, and then you've got other options like bleaching and additional kinds of actions. The difference between bleaching and washing is that bleaching actually will break down and turn into little pieces the molecules in that stain. And it'll also, in some ways, deteriorate the fabric itself. So bleaching is really a last resort kind of cleaning approach to treating stains.
Now, when I bring my dry cleaning into the store, they put a little tag on it. They put all off on the side. But I suspect that everything gets separated, doesn't it? Do things get put into the machines based on the nature of the fabric or
exactly.
the nature of the stain?
Exactly, the nature of the fabric.
What about color? Because I know
color,
when I wash, I make sure that all my darks are together, all my whites are together.
You do good laundry. We changed the name of our business from Maurice French Dry Cleaners to Maurice Garmachem many years ago because we do more than just dry cleaning. Probably about 50% of the work that we process now is using water. So we look at each garment. We do look at the care label, which is not always correct. We determine the best processing for that garment, pre-treat any stains if necessary, and then clean them.
Well, can you mix the natural fabrics like cotton and wool with synthetic fabrics like rayon and polyester?
Absolutely. Depending on in the dry cleaning side, yes. In the wet cleaning, the loads need to be more carefully classified. And wet cleaning is very different than washing at home. We use special soaps. We use special conditioners. We have computer-controlled machinery and humidity-controlled drying, and that gives us the ability to, let's say, wet clean a Chanel suit where it would say it's only 100% wool, beautiful boucle suit that is labeled dry clean only.
And why, Kim, is wool not why can't you wash wool? You can wash cotton, but you can't wash wool.
Well, you can wash wool. The problem
doesn't it shrink? At least that's been my experience.
Yeah, exactly. There are problems, though, with washing wool. The main one is that wet wool that is hot felts. And it doesn't actually shrink. What happens is that all of the little barbs on the wool fiber become more and more entangled the more the wool is agitated, and it accelerates that entanglement when we've got hot, wet wool. So felt is a natural consequence of just abrading the wool fibers back and forth and, again, accelerated with heat and water. So it's really the way that the wool has been treated that causes people to think that you can't wash wool. Well, you can't wash wool in hot water and then run it through the dryer. That's for sure. You're going to cause a felt to form. So the process that Wayne is talking about is really the oldest green cleaning process, which is using water. And that process has come a long ways in using really good solvents, water, natural water. It's non-toxic. It's healthy for us to reapproach the way that we think about dry cleaning.
Well, how, Wayne, does the kind of fabric make a difference in terms of how a stain behaves?
Well, certain polyester synthetic fabrics are less likely to absorb a stain, and a stain would remain on the surface versus...
Is that because of the nature of the polyester,
the
or what about
polyester?
The weave?
Well, the weave would really depend on how, whether or not it... The textile, the composition depends on, will determine whether or not it's going to penetrate. The weave, a tighter weave, will leave the material on the surface easier as opposed to a very loose weave where it might penetrate. But the synthetics are a bit harder to stain as opposed to natural fibers that tend to absorb the staining material.
And then there are some stains that just don't seem to be able to get out no matter what?
Very, very, very rarely. And we don't call that a stain. It's either a discoloration, an abrasion, or a damaged textile.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always seem to drop stuff on my shirt that does that, and then it's there forever.
Well, if it's oil-based and you drop it on your shirt and it's just washed and you don't make any attempt to dissolve the oil portion of the stain, it could... it might have the propensity to set.
Now, Kim, the most common chemical used in dry cleaning over the years has been perchloroethylene, hasn't that been a cause for concern? Isn't it being phased out of use by 2020?
Yeah, perchloroethylene, or PERC, is the lion's share of dry cleaning in the United States. About 85% of dry cleaners are using PERC. The problems with PERC are, well, first of all, there are many advantages to PERC. It controls flammability, so it's safer for workers in the workplace to work with in terms of immediate dangers of explosion. But it has some long-term problems. One is that it persists in the environment for weeks and since it's not going to cling to soils, it moves readily into water supplies. So there are the EPA is regulating the use of PERC. Now, once EPA regulations came into place, dry cleaners went to recycling their PERC. So very little of the PERC is actually lost to the environment now. But it is a carcinogen. It creates smog. So both in the ground and in the air and in the body, it's a dangerous chemical. So it is being phased out. Now, it's not being phased out everywhere. The most strict regulations are in California. By the year 2023, there will be no more PERC-based facilities in California. So the industry may be looking at that and thinking that's going to be driving some changes long term.
Wayne, will you miss being able to use PERC?
We'll be using PERC for a while. We've moved into a new facility, and beware of the plumber who shows up with a vice grip and a screwdriver to work on your new faucet in your new home or apartment. We need a variety of tools to get the job done. We are processing less and less in PERC. The technology has reduced the consumption to almost nothing. And I think the bad rap that PERC has gotten over the years is because of the way it was used in the past when people really didn't know what they were doing with it.
Well, but now we're hearing about green dry cleaning, organic dry cleaning. What are some of the things that are being used there? And do they also have the potential to be toxic, Kim?
Well, of course, the greenest is water. And Wayne already discussed how they have computer-controlled water washing and water and controlled drying, and that's really sophisticated, but not every facility is set up for that. So there are some alternatives. Some of the promising ones are using liquid carbon dioxide.
And why would liquid carbon dioxide clean things?
Well, carbon dioxide is a small molecule, but it's actually an oil-loving molecule, so it's able to remove those oily stains. It's also very lightweight, so it itself won't damage fabrics. Some of these larger solvents that we're using for extracting oils from garments are heavy themselves. They have a high density, so they can actually damage the fabric somewhat. Carbon dioxide doesn't. It's a small molecule, and it's easily recoverable.
But Wayne, you've been shaking your head. You don't think carbon dioxide works?
Carbon dioxide in itself does not work. There was a big push years ago by a major company to enter the market with carbon dioxide alone, just solely carbon dioxide, and it doesn't do it. I guess, Kim, you're referring to the KB value of the solvents?
Right, right.
And
the other thing we should point out is one of the things about CO2 cleaning that's prohibitive is its expense, its startup expense is 5 to 8 times what it is for a traditional cleaner.
I don't know about the number of 5 to 8 times, but the CO2 itself, there are very few operators using it successfully, and they believe it's the greatest thing. You know, everyone's looking for the next great snake oil in this industry to clean with. There's a company that's cleaning with carbon dioxide, but they're using a propylene glycol ether derivative, some type, which is great at cleaning, but they found that it can't dry very well. So what they're doing is they're actually rinsing the solvent out with CO2. Some operators are professing that they're a CO2 cleaner when they're really not. They're a CO2 rinser. And there are certain fabrics that don't work well in CO2, like rayon acetates don't like carbon dioxide.
We have to take a little break, and we will come back with Wayne Edelman, President and CEO of Maurice Garment Care, and Kim Koska, Professor of Chemistry and Associate Dean of the Department of Chemistry at the University of Wisconsin, Rock County. We will be taking your calls at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. And we are back with Kim Koska, Professor of Chemistry and Associate Dean of the Department of Chemistry at the University of Wisconsin, Rock County, and Wayne Edelman, President and CEO of Maurice Garment Care, also past President of the National Cleaners Association, which is a trade and educational outreach organization. And we are taking your calls at 212-433-9692. Listeners are also writing in questions to our show page at WNYC.org, and maybe I'll ask one of those questions first. A number of people want to know about why people are calling their cleaning organic.
Oh, boy. Could I have a soapbox? A lot of cleaners that are using a petroleum-based solvent are calling it organic because it's petroleum. It's from the ground and the earth. My response to that is it's not organic like peaches, and the consumers really are being misled in terms of, you know, you hear the term organic and you think warm and fuzzy. Well, it's not. Actually, perchloroethylene could be considered an organic compound also, right, Kim?
Yeah, exactly. So what these claims are preying on is the public's inability to understand that there are two big definitions of organic. One has to do with organic in terms of the way we think of food and food processing, and the other is organic referring to the chemistry of carbon and hydrogen. So all of our dry cleaning solutions except water are by that definition organic. So a consumer who's thinking organic gardening and being good stewards of the planet, that's a different definition. So they would want to talk to their vendor about how they were using the term organic.
Let's take a call. Robin from Greenwich Village, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, can you hear me on my
Yes,
phone?
We hear you well.
Oh, great. I was going to ask a question. You haven't mentioned OxyClean or different variations of it, which are available commercially, of course, for consumers. Have you not mentioned it? Because it works pretty well on stain-based or oil-based stains. And are you afraid of it, that it'll stop dry cleaning as we
Robin,
know it?
Robin, we haven't mentioned it because there's a conspiracy afoot. But I'm going to let my guests answer anyway.
Well, you know, OxyClean at home is great on a material that's wet cleanable or washable. On a white cotton blouse, even silk is hand washable at home. It works. I have some in my home. I have two little kids, and we use it. It's a great, like a pre-spotter, a laundry booster. We could probably even use it, or we use a derivative of it commercially in our process. But you need, again, it's wet, so you'll need to rinse it out, and it's used as a water-based agent.
And what is the chemistry of OxyClean, Kim?
It's very similar to bleach. What we're doing with OxyClean is using peroxide instead of chlorine-based bleaches. And what peroxides do is the same as what bleaches do. They chop bigger molecules up into smaller molecules that can rinse away.
And they've been known to make people into blondes.
That's true.
the same peroxide.
So it can pull pigment out of hair, and it can also pull mustard out of your shirt.
But it doesn't pull the pigment out of the clothing? Out of the fabric?
Not if it's a well-done product. The Oxy products are quite good. They're tempered and, or we might say that they're buffered, so that they can prevent some of that long-term damage.
As opposed to a chlorine bleach, which has the propensity to pull color.
Right, and go too far. So it's always good when you're trying to remove a spot to test a hem first, so that you don't actually create a big discoloration or damage the fabric.
Our number here is 212-433-9692. We go now to Sebastian from Manhattan. Hi, Sebastian.
Hi, hi, Leonard. How are you?
I'm okay.
I have a question for your host. A lot of times when I take my wool slacks to the dry cleaners, when I get them back, they smell. They smell as if they haven't been cleaned.
Oh, that's a great, that's, you know, we touch on this often, and there's two reasons for a smell. One would be improper drying with solvent left in the clothes, but we find that the biggest cause of a smell in dry clean items is that the cleaner does not distill, which is purify their solvents. And you're basically smelling other people's dirt. It's gross. Find a new cleaner.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay, thank you. A listener asks, are there first steps you should take at home treating a stain before you take it to the dry cleaner?
Depends on what it is. You know, we always say blot, don't rub. If you're wearing a white blouse and you're at an event and they gave you a black napkin, don't put water on it. And, You know, first aid is just blot it, don't rub it.
But seltzer doesn't work, does it?
Seltzer is nothing but water with bubbles in it. I think Kim would probably agree.
But I guess it's the carbon dioxide thing, and we are saying that carbon dioxide can work.
Not in those concentrations. Kim?
Right, there's not much CO2 in there. I guess if you had a really fresh seltzer, it might cause some mechanical bubbling of the weave, but other than that, no. Probably you're better off with if you think you can tolerate a little bit of baking soda. Mm.
Now, a listener asks, what is the worst stain?
Do either of you get rid of? I would say
discoloration is the worst stain. You know, whiteout. Whiteout's been pretty tough. Whiteout on like a silk, and again, it depends on what the.
You mean whiteout, the sort of thing that we use with typewriters?
Yeah. Typewriters.
Of course, computers may have eliminated all of that.
Good point. But it also depends on what it's on. A stain on a red silk blouse is going to be more difficult to remove than a stain on a white cotton blouse.
Because you can put bleach-type things onto
Correct.
The white cotton. Okay, we go now to Mona from North Brunswick, New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Excuse me. I just had a question about, you know, in a recession and people losing jobs, all that kind of thing. What's the closest you can come to dry cleaning at home? So something I thought that would work would be something like club soda and using the delicate cycle or some more expensive, fancier detergent. Is that the closest you can come at home?
You know, it depends on the item. There are a lot of items that are labeled dry clean only when, in fact, you could wash them or wet clean them at home. Hand wash a white silk blouse that's labeled dry clean only. So you really have to go case, you know, item by item, case by case.
Yeah, I guess a good tip would be to call your local dry cleaner and ask them for advice. One of the, I guess, probably frustrations that consumers have is knowing whether or not to trust those labels, and probably even the people in the care industry have those mistrusts as well. In fact, the Federal Trade Commission just requires that one safe cleaning method be listed. It doesn't mean that they need to list all safe cleaning methods.
Thank you for your call. A listener asks, can you address cleaning light-colored suede jackets?
Absolutely. You know, we've been doing a lot of cleaning in suede, and we've been mirroring the tanning process, which is all done in water. We clean suede in water. It tolerates it very well. First and foremost would be to protect it at the onset before you wear it with some type of a stain repellent. Wear a scarf around your neck so you don't soil the collar. If you get wet in the rain with it, hang it to dry away from a heat source. You could brush surface stains off gently with any type of a suede brush. And that's probably, you know, the routine care
But suede always costs a lot more to have dry cleaned.
Well, it's a different process. It's a much more labor-intensive process.
Now, I wish this person had actually called in, but he wrote in. He's from Brooklyn. He says he has a tallis, which is the Jewish shawl that's made of white wool, lamb wool, and if you give it to a dry cleaner, it turns yellow.
You know, I laugh because David Brenner was a client of ours, and he once sent us a tallis, and it was his grandfather's, and it had silver, and he said, note to dry cleaner, please don't untie the knots. The wool can be wet cleaned, and we have one sitting in our office right now that we're waiting to restore to bring it back to as close as its original condition as possible.
Robert from Queens wants to know how effective the marker pens that people use, such as Tide's marker pens, to clean shirts. Kim?
Well, I'd like to know that myself. I was actually going to ask a similar question of Wayne. I actually haven't used them. Well, I have tried to use them twice, and neither time did they work, so I'm skeptical about them. But it seems it's just a concentrated, it's not bleach, but just a concentrated detergent. But if you don't have anything to blot the stain off onto, it doesn't go anywhere, so I don't see the advantage of it versus any other method.
I've seen it work.
Have you?
One of my dear friends and also a client, and we'd be at the beach club, and she'd spill some mustard or something on a white cotton shirt, and next thing I know, I see Jessica over there with the Tide pen, and I would say to her, "What are you doing?" And we laugh and we chuckle, and the stain comes out. So, you know, they have their place. I wouldn't try it on an expensive blouse, but on a T-shirt.
But what about the things that we're supposed to spray on fabrics before if they have a little stain or something? Aren't they just concentrated detergent?
For home washing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and some of them have enzymes in them as well. Enzymes can also break up small stain molecules.
So, but is Shout like that?
Right, right. Shout has both detergents and enzymes. And the enzymes are carefully cultivated to be sensitive to common stains like grass, blood, tomato, mustard.
We have a listener, Phyllis, another person who's suspicious. A lot of conspiracies out there. Phyllis left a comment on a show page saying, "I have hand-washed many things that the labels say dry clean only without any problems. It feels eerily like the clothes industry and the dry cleaning industry are somehow in cahoots."
I thought I addressed that already. Yeah. I told the last listener that she could hand-wash silk at home.
We could probably hand-wash a lot of things at home if we're really careful, can't we?
I saw the Greatest Care label, and it said, you know, hand wash at home and iron if you don't have a life. And it was like this, you know, because if you sit and, you know, I try and iron a shirt, it takes me a half hour. We provide a convenience and a service for our clients.
Well, yeah, again, remember that the FTC only requires one laundering method to be listed on that label. And the fabric, the garment manufacturers will probably choose the ones that they're most familiar with, but they actually get it wrong sometimes.
Absolutely.
So you can try it.
We have very little time, but we wanted to sneak Bob from Scarsdale in. Hi, Bob.
Hi, guys. I'm a 32-year veteran of the textile industry. I'm in the yarn spinning and dyeing business. So I just want to make a couple of comments to the excellent comments your guests have been making. One is that wool can be treated to be washable with a technique called superwashing. And this method removes the scales from the wool so that it actually will not felt. So your listeners might want to look for that. The other thing is,
how do we know? Is there a label that tells us that?
Yes, there's a label called Superwash, or sometimes it's called Croy Treated, K-R-O-Y, or various other enzyme polishing, sometimes they call it. So you might look for that.
Not to be confused with Super 100.
No, Super 100 is a yarn count. It's a number of yards per pound.
Right.
The second thing is dye affinity affects the way stains attract themselves to fabrics. So, for instance, wool takes acid dyes. So if you pour grape juice on it, it's going to be a bad stain. Whereas if you pour that on cotton, it might not be as bad a stain because cotton has an affinity for cellulosic dyes.
And, Bob, we have to leave it there, unfortunately. But thank you so much for calling us. And my great thanks to my two guests, Kim Koska, professor of chemistry and the associate dean of the Department of Chemistry at the University of Wisconsin, Rock County, and Wayne Edelman, president and CEO of Maurice Garment Care, which is a dry cleaning business his family began over a generation ago. Thank you so much, both of you.
Thank you, Leonard.
Thank you.